If you were here last weekend, then you remember what these buckets are about. But you may not have been here last weekend. So let me just take one moment and just kind of look at these buckets real quick. Basically, what these two buckets represent are our heart. And out of our heart, our right side and our left side of our heart, do we love? And so we said that from the right side of our heart, we love from the bucket of, or the left side of our heart, from the bucket of pleasure. And we said this bucket represents the Greek words, because there's four different Greek words for love. There's eros, which is an erotic or romantic or a kind of puppy love. And that love basically is pleasing because it pleases us. That's why it comes with a bucket of pleasure. And then we said there's a phileo love, kind of like the Philadelphia love, the brotherly love. And we said that that too kind of comes from pleasure because you're loving somebody that you like, that likes you. There's this kindred kind of friendship, the bond. So it comes out of the pleasure. That relationship brings you great pleasure to be around that person. And then we said there's a storage love, which is a love in the Greek that means an affection, like something that has sentimental value or something that, or someone that might have sentimental value. Maybe like your grandfather, who when you showed up at his house would take you to Wilson's 5 and 10 and get you whatever toy you wanted to in there. And you just had this great love. Your grandfather was always there, always told you nice things, you know. And so there was a sentimental love, and he brought you great pleasure. So it comes out of this bucket. But there's an, in most people, we said draw from this bucket. Most people, this is as deep as their love goes. They basically, if it pleases me, then I pull out of this bucket, right? When the love no longer pleases me, then I stop the love. But we talked about loving one another Sunday morning, and we're going into the one another series. And we said that this bucket represents agape love, which is a sacrificial love. And that's why it's written sacrificial on here. And this is the love that Christ loved the disciples with. And we gave you some examples of how he loved the disciples. And then we talked about how we are to love one another out of the same bucket, the sacrificial love. And we said that if we want our marriages to last, then we have to pull from this bucket, sacrificial bucket. We said that if we want our families to be strong, it requires family members pulling from this sacrificial bucket. We said if we wanted our church to be strong, it requires pulling from this bucket. Well, today we're going to go beyond loving one another, but the next one another and all these one another's really come out of this bucket. Because they're a different form of love. And they come from the sacrificial love. So over the next few weeks, we'll keep adding and keep putting tags on here as we keep going of the different ways that we demonstrate love one towards another. Today, we're going to talk about, this title is called I Encourage. In other words, we are called to encourage one another. And when we encourage one another, there are times that we pull out of this bucket because we don't just encourage people who we find to be our phileo, our brotherly love, but we encourage people who sometimes don't deserve it. Because that's what it means when you pull out of this bucket. You're going to encourage people at times that aren't like you out of that bucket. So when I think of encouragement, I thought I would just read real quick the passage from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, that just kind of describes the church, just kind of gets you mentally thinking about what the church was like then. And this is how it was described in Acts 2, as they begin to gather as a church. It says, all believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to pray. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared their money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day and met in homes with the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. I want to go to that church. Don't you? Wouldn't you want to be a part of that church? Well, what's stopping us from being that church? Right? I mean, when you look at this, this is the kind of church that demonstrates that love one towards another. They get it. They love God, they love people, and they're changing their world. And that's the kind of church you want to go to. That's the kind of church you want to be a part of. And so today, we're going to continue just loving one another with this thought of encouraging one another. When I think of encouragement, I think of a story that I read many years ago, but the story happened 60 years ago. So I guess it's a long time. It's actually, believe it or not, before I was born, because I'm not 60 yet. Getting close, but I'm not there yet, thank the Lord. But as I was thinking about that, his story takes place on Lake Michigan, and a family and friends were out on a boat, and the wind started getting rough, and the storm came up, and they were trying to get the boat back to the shore, and as they were taking the boat hit a big wave and knocked out a man in his 40s and a young girl out into the water. The man swam over to the girl because the girl was having a hard time staying, keeping her head above water. The boat began to make that long journey to circle around back. The man got there and he began to lift the girl up above the water. And he was able to hold her up long enough for the boat to circle around, and they grabbed the girl. But the man died. The man who died is a man that you may not know, but you probably have heard of the organization that he led. He started and founded one of the most successful Christian discipleship ministries of all time, and it's Navigators. Have you heard of Navigators before? Probably so. Well, this man's name is Dawson Trotter, and he is the founder of Navigators. And back then, when the New York, or when the Time magazine used to publish things like this, they wrote this about Dawson. They said, "Trotman, his life is lived to save others. His death was just the way he would have planned it. A note I found in his obituary simply stated this: Dawson Trotman died as he lived, always lifting someone else up." I don't know, but that is a pretty powerful statement to make about somebody. What a great legacy to live. That Dawson lived always to lift someone else up. That is encouragement kind of lived out or seen. In Hebrews chapter 3:13, we get the command, and it's not just found here, but it's found throughout the New Testament. Like I said, as we begin the series, there are many one another's in the Bible. I'm just picking just about five for us to look at and identify and say, this is who we want to be. We want to love one another and we want to encourage one another. In Hebrews 3:13, it says, "But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." Why is it so important that we encourage one another? Well, you know, we live in a world that beats you down daily. And if you watch the news or listen to the news, it's almost always bad. It's how they make their money. So it's always negative. It's always being poured into our lives. We live in a culture where people, for the majority, don't communicate anymore. Don't talk. And if they do talk, the only reason why they want to talk is to tell you about a problem they have. We live when people need encouragement, and it's rarely given. But yet it's greatly needed. We're all wired by God to receive encouragement. And most importantly, the reason why we need to give encouragement is because God tells us to. In Hebrews 3:13 again, but encourage one another how often? Once a year? 6 months? When I think about it? When I see something I can really... It says, do it daily. Right? Daily. And then it goes on, and just in case you missed that, he says, so as long as it's called today. Here's the thing. You can't encourage somebody yesterday. Yesterday's gone. And we don't know what tomorrow holds. So we need to take advantage of the opportunity we have today to encourage one another. Now, that being said, does anybody like somebody who flatters you, gives you flattery and you know it's fake? You know what I mean? That little... I've been trying to think how you say this in a nice way. So some of you might need to put your hands in your ears, but you know, that brown noser, you know, that kind of person that's always just, they want something from you, so they just want to give you that flattery, but you know that they just really want something from you instead. You know, nobody likes that, right? Nobody wants fake flattery. Well, if I got to do it every day, I don't want to give somebody fake flattery, right? So how can I really encourage somebody? What can I do? What can I say? Because sometimes, you know, I don't know what to say. And I don't get myself in trouble. So what should I say that would be genuine, that would be real, that would be the truth, that would build them up and encourage them in their soul if they're a believer? Let me give you three things that I think can help in encouragement, encouraging others. Number one, let us remind each other of our place in Christ. To encourage someone that's not fake but real, remind each other of our place in Christ. So what is our place in Christ? Our place in Christ is our identity in Christ. It's who you are in Christ, right? It's who you are right now in Christ. Do you realize that you are a child of God? Hello? I can encourage you by reminding you that you belong to God. You are His child, and He is your Father, and He's got you. Right? You are forgiven. Right? If you are a follower of Christ, you come to the cross, you ask for forgiveness, and God has forgiven you of all your sins. You are forgiven. So I can encourage somebody by reminding them that, hey, you belong to God, you're His child, and you are forgiven. And don't tell our denominational leaders, but you are chosen. Hello? The Bible clearly says you are chosen before God even created this world. You're chosen by Him. The reason why I say that is because in AG we don't believe so much in the fact that, you know, you're chosen, but you choose God. And that's true too. I don't know why both can't be true, because God's bigger than we are. But it clearly tells us in the Bible that you are chosen by God. And all those brings me great comfort. You know, somehow, when it seems like there should have been no way God could have found me, He found me. I mean, when I grew up with a father that had no clue what church was, you know, didn't even go to church until he decided that he wanted to make some business deals and thought maybe that might be a good place in the South because everybody in the South goes to church. Right? Somehow, God directed my family somehow to be involved in a church at some point in my later teen years where I found Christ. Because God chose me. just like God chose you. And somehow, your life probably shouldn't have wound up where it wound up, but it did. Because God has chosen you. Man, you are loved by God. That's another thing I can say. That is your place. That's your identity. That you are loved by God. That God loves you. And by the way, let me just remind you that you are His workmanship. Right? That you are His workmanship. That means you are not perfect. God is still working on you, right? That I can encourage someone and say, man, I see God working in your life. You may not see it, but I see God working in your life. And that will bring encouragement. That's not flattery. That's not fake. That's real, right? What God is doing in our lives. Because here's the deal. We're all on this long journey. And the journey is to get to heaven. And while we're on this long journey, we can get discouraged as we go through this journey. And we need encouragement. We need to be reminded of who we are in Christ and where Christ has brought us in this journey. When COVID hit, we all decided that it was a great idea, since we couldn't go anywhere, we're stuck in our homes, to do some work on our houses. Like, if you're going to get COVID, go to Lowe's, because then everybody was in Lowe's and Home Depot, right? Those stores were packed. Well, I got this brainstorm. Okay, we're going to repaint the inside of the house. It's been like 10 years since we've done it. It's time to repaint. It's time to do this. We're going to do it. So I go to Lowe's. I get all the paint I need, all the stuff. But I'm going to come home. And, you know, at first there's a lot of excitement. Because I'm like, okay, this is productive. I'm going to get something done. I have the time for the first time in 10 years to actually do something in my home. I'm going to work on this. It's going to make it so beautiful. And so we start in the living room. And we start painting. Painting. Get through with the living room. Now we got the hall. Oh, now we got the kitchen. Do you really think, honey, those bedrooms need to be painted? You know, at first when you start, there's great excitement. Just like when you come to Christ in faith. When you first start the journey, there's great excitement because you learn, hey, man, I am forgiven by God. He's come into my life. There's great joy in me. But then as you begin to follow through, sometimes we lose that. And we need to be reminded. Because along the journey, we can all get discouraged. And we need to be encouraged that, Dad, you're doing a great job with that living room. Honey, man, that living room you did, oh, man, that trim you did, I couldn't have done it. Man, you knocked it out, right? It helped me finish painting the inside of the house. Sometimes we need to be reminded that we're loved, that we're chosen by God. It's needed. Again, he tells us, encourage one another daily as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We're in this journey of faith. And in Philippians 1:6, it says, be confident of this, that he has begun the good work in you, will carry it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Let me just remind you and encourage you with that word, that he has begun a good work in you, and he's going to see it through. That he's not going to leave you halfway through the process, the journey. And he encouraged one another with those words. In the 20s or 30s, 1920 or 30s. Man, you got to say that now, because like the 20s now are like the 20s, 2020, you know what I mean? Okay, sorry, that was an ADD moment. Focus, get back on target. But here, back in the 1920s or 30s, there was a Chinese pastor. His name was Watchman Nee. I don't know if you've read any of his books, but they're powerful. But he was a pastor, and one of his members came to visit him. And he said, "Pastor," he said, "man, I am really struggling." He says, "I just feel like that I can't do this thing. And I can't live for God. And I don't even know if I think I'm losing my salvation." And Watchman thought for a minute. And Watchman said, "You see my dog?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "My dog's been house trained. He's a good dog. Matter of fact, he never makes a mess in the house. He always goes outside. He's quiet. Until I tell him to come, he sits and lays. He's a great dog." He says, "But in the bedroom is my son." He said, "My son cries and gets loud at times. He says, my son will make messes around the house. He says, my son will even mess his clothes. But," he says, "who do you think I'm going to leave my inheritance to? My dog or my son? There's a greater love I have for my son, even though there are a lot of messes that come with him. There's a greater love that God has for you because you now belong to him. You are his child." This morning. So let us remind each other of our place in Christ. It's not based upon our performance. Let me say that again. It's not based upon our performance. It's not based upon our performance. It's based upon God's grace and his mercy. We must daily encourage one another with who we are in Christ. Let us remind each other of our place in Christ. Number two, let us remind each other of our potential in Christ. Our potential in Christ. Just as important is to know where we are, it's also important to know where we're going. Where's our potential? One of the most encouraging things is to see where God is leading us, where God is taking us. And one way we do this is pointing out the strengths we see in each other. Listen, the devil is always going to remind you of your past. He's always going to remind you of the things you've done wrong, the things you didn't get right. He's going to remind you of your weaknesses. The devil is always going to be in your case for that, but he's never going to remind you of your potential future. That's what God does. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He wants us to be reminded of where we are going in him. Matter of fact, in Ephesians 3:20, he says this, Now to God, who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to the power that works within us. That God is working within us. That God has called us to be something. And to do something. And that each one of us has a call of God on our life. For we're chosen by God for a reason. That God wants us to be used in his kingdom. So we encourage one another. By the way, look at that word encourage. What is the root word of encourage? Courage. We're giving each other courage to say that God's got you. To give each other the courage to help us to reach our potential, we can say things to encourage each other like, God's got you. If God has called you, he's going to equip you. That God is going to take care of you. We can encourage one another. Had a young lady ask me this week who's preparing to get married. And she is, we're talking about different marriage counselors out there and different things that she could do and all. And she says, one thing I like is I want to just get as much advice as I can. What is the one advice that you would give me? So I thought for a second, and there's a lot of different advices, but I just told her this. I said, here's the thing. I said, just know that you can't change your mate. Because when we get married, we think we can change our mate. And we can't. If we try to change our mate, we're going to frustrate them. No one ever gets changed because somebody is nagging them. It just doesn't happen. You get changed by words of encouragement, by encouraging. And I told her, I just said, remember that he has a Heavenly Father and you have a Heavenly Father. And when you have disagreements, you take him to your Heavenly Father, who is his Heavenly Father, and say, Daddy, he needs help. He's your child. Right now, I'm really frustrated at him, and I want to change him. But that's not my job. God, that's your job to change him. In the same way, we remind each other of the potential we have in Christ. That it's by encouraging others that we help each other continue on the road. It's not by slandering each other, reminding each other of our weaknesses and our faults and our failures and the times we blew it. That's what the job of Satan is. That's what the job of the devil is. Our job is to encourage and remind each other of the potential we have. Third thing. Number one, let us remind each other of our place. Let us remind each other of our potential. And the third thing is let us remind each other of our partnership in Christ. Hello, we're all on the same team. Right? We're all in Christ. We're all on the same family. The family of God. We're all going to spend eternity together. So just as important as where we came from is where we're going and that we're all on the same team. Reminding each other we're not alone is a good thing. By saying, I'm here for you. We're in this together. We're going to make it. You're not going to have to go through this alone. In Hebrews 10, 23 through 25, it says this. It says, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promises. Let us think of ways to motivate one another. That's to give encouragement. To acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Anybody remember Aaron Ralston? He was a mountain climber back in 2003. Is it starting to remember? He was climbing a mountain. He got up halfway up the mountain and a boulder fell in on his right hand and crushed it. Remember that? And for 6 days he was in the mountain with this boulder on his hand. He couldn't get free. He tried to work it every which way to get it free. Finally, he took out a dull pocket knife and he cut that hand off to get free. Does that kind of bring back remembrance now? Because I just remember around all the water coolers, it was like, could I do that? Could you do that? I mean, wow, just to get free. When he got down and they were interviewing him, he said, my biggest regret was that I tried to climb the mountain alone. Can I tell you, the Christian journey is not meant to be done alone, right? We need one another. We need to remember that we're family and that we're on the same team and we're going to the same place and we need to help each other along the journey. No one gets a reward for being the first one there. This is not that kind of sport. It's a sport where we get there, we all want to get there together. We all want to make it together. One of the greatest mistakes we can make in the Christian faith is to think that we can do this by ourselves. That I can climb this mountain to heaven by myself. We're meant to climb it together. And I think today's, I'm getting towards the end of the message. That we are, there are a lot of weary warriors out there. I think there's a lot of us that may be tired. And I want to share a word from you, for you. And if you were with me Wednesday night, we did look at this passage. Because it's a passage written by someone you would think would never face loneliness. Never face despair. But it's the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul was lonely. And you see it all in this letter, throughout this letter. I mean, it just even begins in the first verse, verse 3, where he says, Timothy, I thank God for you, the God I serve with a clear conscience, just as my ancestors did. Day and night, I constantly remember you in my prayers. Throughout this letter, he continually pleads for Timothy to come. He needs a friend. He needs a friend. He's under arrest in Rome. In chapter 4, verse 9, he writes this, Timothy, please come as soon as you can. Demas has deserted me because he loved the things of this life and is going to Thessalonica. In other words, Demas, friend, has left me. He's gone. Crescens has gone to Galatia. Another friend has gone. Titus has gone to Dalmatia. Another friend gone. Only Luke is with me. But he asks, he says, bring Mark with you when you come, for he will be helpful to me in my ministry. I send Tychicus to Ephesus. When you come, be sure to bring my coat I left in Carpus at Troas. Also bring my books, especially my papers. There are all kinds of things, good advice throughout this passage that helps deal with loneliness. But I'm not going to talk about that today. We did that Wednesday night. But he says, be careful of him, for he fought against everything we did. There's a guy there that's fighting him tooth and nail. And everything that they did, he was fighting them all along the way. And get this verse. The first time I was brought before the judge, no one came with me. Everyone abandoned me. The first time Paul went to stand before Nero and give a defense for the gospel and why he said what he said and why it riled up the Jews. Not one of them was there with him. He had to do that all by himself. So he's facing great opposition. Luke is there, but Luke is in and out, and he feels like I'm all alone and I just need somebody there. I need encouragement. Because we're not meant to do the journey alone. Even the Apostle Paul needed encouragement. He said, the first time, verse 17, while he was before Nero, he says, but the Lord stood with me and gave me strength so that I might preach the good news in its entirety for all the Gentiles to hear. And he rescued me from certain death. Thanks be to God that Paul had God there to be with him. Right? The Lord was with him. And the Lord strengthened him. Because we are never, never, never alone. We're never, never abandoned. Hebrews 13:5 tells us that. That God never leaves you. So you're never alone. But you and I were created for fellowship with God and with others. We're created for relationship with God and others. And we need encouragement from people. And many times God uses people to encourage us. right? Paul needed encouragement. And I often wonder if, when he says, thanks be to God who was there, who strengthened me, that I did not die. Don't know. But I wonder if he was talking more about just being put to death by Nero. I wonder if he was struggling with suicide because he was so down and lonely by himself that if God hadn't given him strength, he wouldn't have gotten through. Here's the thing. People around us, many times we don't realize the encouragement they need. That's why we've got to encourage each other daily. But I know we're all guilty of this. We all want to go, but what about me? I need encouragement. You know, what about me? How am I going to get encouragement? Well, have you ever heard of the IT principle? And I'm finishing with this, I promise. The IT principle. The IT principle is really simple. I get it from Luke 6:38. He says, give, and it will be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over into your bosom. The same measure of which you use, it will be measured to you. What God is telling us with the IT principle is whatever the IT is that you give away, it will be given back to you. Because there's going to come a time and a moment where you're going to need encouragement. There's going to come a day where you're going to need somebody to help point you in the right direction. There's going to come a time where you're going to need someone who will believe in you. And there will be a time where you'll need to be reminded that this too will pass. And you will need encouragement. If I want to receive encouragement, then I must give encouragement out. Because the principle is, if I will give it out, it will be given unto me. So here's the deal. I'm asking you today, I'm asking our ushers to come by and give you a I encourage name tag again. And if you would join me and say, you know what, Pastor, I want to be an encourager. I want to be an encourager to others because I know that one day I'm going to need encouragement. I want you to take the name tag off if you can, unless you've got a $1,000 blouse on or something, and put it on your shirt or somewhere where people can see it. It says, I encourage. That we know that the responsibility to encourage is for us. That comes out of the love bucket. I'll be willing to be an encouragement to someone else. I'll try to do it daily to encourage other people so that the church will be healthy, it will be strong, so that those around us who need encouragement will find encouragement, because I want to be a different